Already.
Hey, Nikki, a good friend of mine, John Luscombe, is probably listening to the program as we speak. I often see him at Skeeter's, where we get our lovely coffee from.
Absolutely.
And John loves a coffee down there as well. And he, of course, supplies us with our saying of the week.
Yes.
But he said to me the other day, Pete, I need you to have a chat to a good friend of mine. His name's Steve Trigwell. And I said, okay. And he's telling me a little bit about him and how Steve was a bit of a muso, a bit of a writer. But he's also the carer for his lovely wife, who had a stroke several years ago. So he said it'd be a great chat and be nice to have on your program. So I've got in contact with Steve, and guess what? He's on the line right now. Good morning to you, Steve.
Good morning, Peter.
Thanks.
Good morning, Nikki.
Thanks very much for agreeing to chat to us. But for those that that are listening, tell us a little bit about your story, because I've looked at a clip from your song, which we're about to play later after the conversation with you today, Steve. And it shows a lot of pictures of your family, and it shows that you were quite well and truly into music. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, I'm. First of all, I better say I'm 69 years of age, Pete. So we're going back in time. We should go back far enough.
Only a young fella.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I noticed you played Gladys Knight in the Pips earlier on, and I googled her. She's 78. So
there you go.
Those sort of people give you a bit. We actually saw her. My wife and I saw her in February 2020 at Crown and Theatre in Perth. That was fantastic. Yeah. She was just so over it. It was unbelievable.
Isn't that incredible?
Anyway, Mum bought me a guitar when I was in high school, and then made me practice in the room every night after school. If I didn't make a noise, I got into trouble. and then basically grew up playing with guys like Johnny Luscombe and a few other friends who played, and then I went backpacking around the world and travelled for a couple of years and played with a few people over there and built some confidence, I suppose, playing in front of a crowd, and came back to Perth, set up a few businesses, and eventually moved to Donnybrook, actually, and then that's when I first joined my first band at 28, played around the southwest from Margaret River through to Perth, mainly sort of Bunbury, Dunsborough, Margaret River area, and what else? But I've always had a dream, I suppose, and that was to record a decent song. I write a lot of songs, but not all of them make it to a production stage.
Yeah.
But with Autumn Day, I got there, flipped it,
yeah.
And I was pretty happy with that. Had some help from some good people, and so that was Autumn Day. That's how that sort of came about.
Now, you also have written a book, and John told me the name of it. It's something So Many Steps, but tell us the background to that.
It's called 105 Steps. And that was a book, writing's always been my outlet. I'm more of a wordsmith than a musician, that's for sure. My guitar playing's pretty average, but I really enjoy writing, always have. With the book, my wife did have a stroke, and she was diagnosed with an aneurysm on a Friday, and they operated on a Tuesday morning, and it was amazing. She was like in hospital for over 8 months, and she did St Charles Garden Hospital, which is where they did the ops. Then they went to Fiona Stanley for some rehab, and eventually Bunbury, and then back home. So that was a real shock to the system, and nowadays I'm pretty much a carer for my wife, and I really enjoy that job. It's great.
So the book itself, the title itself is interesting in itself, being 105 steps, and that has something to do with your daily routine when your wife was in hospital.
Well, first of all, I had no intention of writing the book. Originally I started jotting down as a diary, my wife's daily medications, because she was forgetful and so was I. Our lives were changing, but we didn't realise it. And then, once she was admitted to hospital and they did the ops and she was in intensive care, she was unconscious for a long time.
Mm.
And, not being able to speak with her and talk to her, I was jotting things down on my mobile phone, and eventually, it was a very emotional time. And my daily routine was going to the hospital, sitting with her, eventually, you know, ICU and then HDU, high dependency unit. The 105 steps comes about because it was 105 steps from the elevator to the ICU room.
Gee, no, that says it all, really, doesn't it? And in the book, is it just a reflection of how you were feeling at the time, and as this situation with you and your wife progressed?
It's all it did, but her life was in the balance, and in the end, it became more than that. I didn't want it to be a depressive, heavy story. It became a book. That's what I'm saying. I didn't start out to write a book, but as it became a book, I realised that it was bigger than a song as far as songwriting goes. You couldn't fit it into a few verses and a chorus. So the story evolved, and eventually it became a combination of a memoir of, because I knew Glenn for 11 years before we married, actually. And I knew Glenn from the time I first met John. I knew John Luscombe. I knew John before Glenn. Yeah. So that's how long our relationship goes back. So the book covers 51 years and, her travels as well as my travels, and also our business life together and our farming life and all that. And trips to Geraldton and near Brolis all that with John Luscombe from Jura, and there's a lot of people in Jura I know. Hello to everybody up there. Listening.
Yeah, I'm sure they're listening in this morning and listening to you telling me this interesting story. So, you and your wife now, you're living in the southwest?
Yeah, we live in Bunbury, and look, I've had a lot of help from a lot of people. Like when she was in Fiona Stanley, they gave us pretty short notice that she was being discharged. So, and she was in a wheelchair. She's still in a wheelchair, but she's improving with rehab all the time. But of course, we live in a two-story unit on the ocean here, and so we had to get a residential elevator stuck in the house at very quick smart within 4 weeks. And this is in November 21. Yeah, so it's only sort of like this time last year. And a good friend of mine who was a builder, I couldn't believe it. He did it. He did the whole thing, structural engineers report, Shire Council approval, a whole lot. It was in 4 weeks, which is pretty hard to do during COVID. So he did that. So she was able to move straight back into home. And, we just love living where we do. Bunbury's a good spot.
No, it sounds like it's a wonderful place where you do live. So for you, your life has changed a lot, but your relationship with your wife is probably stronger than ever, I'd say.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. No, you find new roles all through your life, no matter what you do. And that's the thing, you've got to change and embrace the change. If you don't, if there's no change in your life, well, you're dead, aren't you? When you stop changing, change stops, you're gone. So, we've always loved change, and, it's love surprises and spontaneity and all things like that,
Yeah, speaking with Steve Trigwell, he is the author of a book, 105 Steps. He's a carer of his lovely wife at present, and he's also a songwriter, a bit of a musician. Tell us about Autumn Day, Steve.
Well, with all my songs that I do, as I said, I do a lot that don't make it and some do, for me, anyway, the creative process is, words will come to me. I get a one-liner or something like that, and which, just the combination of the words strikes me as being sort of significant. So then I'll try and build on that. But what I've discovered over the years, that the good stuff that I've written, if I try and write a song, it doesn't work. It just doesn't unfold. So I'm my own worst enemy when it comes to really good creative writing. If I want to write a bad song, it's easy. You sit there and you write it. But a good one for me has to come, has to be born, if you know what I mean. You give it away. You sort of outsource the creative process. And it's like the book. I wrote that book in 6 weeks on my mobile phone.
Wow.
And it almost felt like I wasn't writing it. It was just pouring out.
Yeah.
But, and the same with a good song, with Autumn Day, the first verse pretty much wrote itself, and then I wasn't going anywhere with it until I went we went on a trip through the Kimberleys, and it was just such an amazing place. And you know, we were taken to some beautiful, sort of, you know, we were on the true north, and those rocky, you know, Prince George and all those beautiful places. And we found an indigenous cairn. Now, of course, you're not allowed to take photos, and very respectful. We did all that. No one took photos. But I found it was very impactful that coming across that cairn of rocks, which was probably thousands of years old. And, you know, I just sort of felt the significance of that, and the way that that crosses lots of cultures. And this is true for more cultures all around the world. You know, like we go into this ritual about death and all that sort of stuff. And as I say, I didn't write the song to be a depressive song, but you know, it's pretty weird. A lot of people think I wrote my own funeral song, but anyway, it's and I was lucky enough to get a guy on keyboards who I knew very well, and he was just fantastic, Alan Payne. Payne, I played with, you know, like years before, and unfortunately, Payne lost his wife very early, and he had two young kids, which he's been caring for ever since, and he's amazing. And he's still a big muso in Perth, but. I asked Payne, you know, would he play on the song? And I went up there and we recorded it over a weekend. You know, I went to practice with him on a Friday night for about 3 hours, and then we recorded it on the Sunday, just the keyboards. And then I brought it back home to Bunbury and finished it off in the studio here with my vocals and harmonies and a few other, my guitar I put over it, and I did a... what did I do? I think I did an oboe sort of over the top of it. And then a friend of mine, Maureen Horrocks from Dunsborough, she's been a choir master all her life, and she had the choir down there from Our Lady of the Cape. And I was able to use the choir, her children's choir, which I heard in the background, the outro of the song, and they came in and they were fantastic. And we recorded them in the school auditorium. That took about an hour, brought it back here and mixed it all up. And that was, that's probably, at this stage, it's the only song that I'm really happy with the way I produced it and put it all together, mixed it and everything, and it came up pretty good. So I released it, and that's it. I've got
And people can get online and have a look at that. It is a beautiful clip that goes with the song. But we're about to go out with this interview and the song Autumn Day. Steve, thank you so much for sharing your story with us, and hopefully catch up with you down the track. And you and your family have a wonderful Christmas, won't you?
Thanks, Peter, and same to you and all your listeners too. Thanks very much.
Bye bye.
See you. Bye.